Hello and welcome to Under Construction with Chad Wicks. I'm Donal Cohen and I'm delighted to be joined by Pat Moore. Pat, how are you?
Very well, Donal. Thanks very much.
Brilliant stuff. We have the life cycle of tradespeople in front of us and we'll start with the green shoots. Luke, how are you getting on?
Not bother, boy. Nice to meet you.
Brilliant. You are in the spring of your career, Luke, and enjoying it, I would take it.
Oh, absolutely relishing it, you know.
Brilliant. Pete, you are in the summer of your career and blooming not only in construction areas, but also in social media and TV. Good on you.
Thanks very much. Yeah. I love the summer feeling you're bringing to the place here, Donica. I like it.
Dr. Aidan Kenny, I don't want to say winter, right? But it's kind of late autumn. And if I saw you as anything, you're more of a caterpillar, aren't you? You have managed to cocoon yourself and now you're blossoming as a butterfly, lecturing and teaching in TU Dublin, the likes of Luke. Good on you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting us here today. We have a past student that's qualified. It's excellent to see people qualifying, particularly keeping up our standards. And, you know, so it's good to have a TU Dublin student.
It's brilliant.
It's pretty Pete didn't get in there.
Lads, you're all very welcome. Let's get it done. Can I kick us off and just actually have a broad conversation about skilled labour? I know for me as a young boy, my grandfather and father were both plasterers, and then three of my brothers went into the trade as plasterers. But there was a kind of shift away when I came to it. My brothers were telling me, go another way, you know? Ireland was very different in the 80s. But just, and I'll go to you, Luke, first, what drew you to taking on a trade?
Well, again, it was a future. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You could, at the end of the 4 years, you could at least have something to fall back on. Do you know what I mean? I'd say I was 28. When I said, I'm going to be an apprentice. And I was like, what? Sure, you should be finished your college career at 28, but never too late. So I'm 32 now in April and I have my qualification behind me. So I have a new minimum wage and I got paid to go to college. So can't go wrong there, really. Everyone else is struggling to pay their fees. We were there like, show me the money.
Not a bad
it's all about that cheddar, man.
Yeah. But Luke, Aidan, you're seeing this every day. Tell us, what are you seeing coming in now in the skilled labour force?
At the moment, we have a massive demand for the construction-related trades and including engineering as well. And it's hard to keep up with that demand because capacity dropped after 2008 and the recession. So we built up that capacity again and we're up at the equivalent levels we were at the time, just before the boom period. I think the key areas will be our craft trades are stable, the demand is stable, but the new areas will be the green skills, the European Green Agenda set up the green skills for all of Europe, the United Nations has set up the Sustainable Development Goals that we want to meet. So they're the big areas that we're going to have a challenge as a university and the Irish education system.
There's a couple of themes we'll go through over the course of the podcast throughout the season, but one of them is obviously sustainability, but the other is diversification. And we're sitting in a room that's full of diverse people here. They're not one of us in the female participation. What's that like, Aidan, at the moment? Because I remember it was in your place there last week with 65 apprentices. There was no female participation. So how do you guys go around trying to improve that position?
Yeah, well, we do have female apprentices. And I suppose the main trade where we'd have female apprentices would be in the construction area would be painting and decorating. Although we did have female in brickwork and stonework a few years ago, we have some females in wood manufacturing and finishing. But you're absolutely right, like a female can do any type of work that a male can do. But there's an image there. And that's the I suppose the whole area. So females, they want to have the same equality of access to proper toilet facilities and so forth on site as anybody else. And some of the big the quality employers are providing all them services. So once that the reputation part of that comes back to the parents. And that's the big area that you have to convince the parents, because if the parents don't encourage young people to become apprentices, which is a quality career path, opportunities in Ireland and across Europe, and the European Commission is pushing apprenticeship big time with the European Alliance for Apprenticeship. So you have massive opportunities. It's a license to work anywhere you want in Europe or internationally. But we do have a challenge to encourage young women to participate in apprenticeship. That's something that we're trying to do. We have equality, diversity and inclusion programs in TU Dublin and the education sector STEM as well. And I know the minister is pushing the whole system hard to get female participation. So, yeah, we're trying, but we will need further cooperation from industry as well.
Yeah, Pete, it's an interesting point, isn't it? Like, of course, it can happen from the top end, but it isn't until it happens from the bottom end as well, that everyone's acceptance and all striving for equality in a workplace and make it easier for our brothers and sisters to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I'm in a great position here because I didn't tell anyone, but I actually have a female apprentice working with me at the moment. She started just before Christmas, approached me and asked me, could she come and do some work experience? Jane is her name. And Jane came and she worked with us for a couple of months. And I'm going to be totally honest with her. I said to her, you're going to have to come on board and prove yourself the same as any apprentice would. She's done the probation period and now she's fully registered and going into her first year, you know. So it's great to see it. But she came to me and wanted it,
brilliant,
you know. So it's great.
And as an employer, then how did the challenges that Aidan mentioned in relation to toilets and facilities? What did you come across? Well, how did people listen to the podcast?
I'm going to be honest, we're still working through it. Tell you the truth, but look, every building site now has multiple toilets, depending on the size and the number of people on it. And look, Jane just, you know, pulls her weight and, you know, does what we all do, to be honest with you, you know what I mean? So there's been no issues there at all. I was very open and honest with her right from the start. I said, look, a construction site is different to the normal working environment. But, you know, she said, listen, no bother at all. And that's why I felt it was very important for her to do the probation period, because I wanted her to experience it and see what it's like working with, you know, predominantly lads on site and the banter that goes on and things like that. But no, it's been really successful, actually, you know, and she's been great.
She's been a brave girl. Signed the social media policy. What do you think about that?
You're never off it. Pete, just on that, you said it there. She came to you, but that's because, to be fair to you, you have made the kind of trade kind of cool. Like if we're showing the way, I know you're going to be modest, but like, people are seeing that side of it. They're seeing the full side of it, and that they can express themselves and be themselves. That's quite important in any job.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be totally honest. I'm glad you kind of hit on that point, because when I suppose took on the role, if you like, of Pete the Builder, I said to myself, I'm going to actually let people know that it's a bit of crack to be on site. Now look, I work very hard and I expect everybody that works for me to work very hard, but there's always great crack on site. There's always great, you know, there's a bit of a radio playing and there's a bit of banter going on. And
sing, I think, song.
Yeah, a bit of, well, yeah, well, we haven't got there yet, but we will soon. But, you know, like that type of thing. And I wanted to portray that as well as portraying, obviously, a high level of workmanship and, you know, a work ethic. So, you know, it's a fine line between, you know, messing and having a crack on site and getting work done in an enjoyable way. But that's what I do try and show that in my in my social media. And believe me, Chadwick's helped me with the amount of mad stuff they get me to do for them as well. But look, that's the reality of it. And I think, you know, as tradespeople as well, people forget that, it sounds a bit silly, but forget that we're human and we all have our own bills to pay and we all have our own lives going on. We all have kids. We all own our own homes. People seem to think because you're in a trade, you know, everything in your own house, and you do everything in your own house for free and your own house is spotless and all that. And that's not the case. So believe me, it's not the case in my house.
That's my mom's house, Pete. My mom, honestly, at one point there was four plasterers in the house, and it's the only wall in the whole place, in the whole park, that isn't plaster is our house. Like, but Luke, tell us, like, you're the closest out, just finished your apprenticeship. Is there still the kind of crack, the banter, the old school glass hammers, you know what I mean? The little, you know, the bubble for a spirit level, you know, like the rite of passage.
Skirting ladder.
Yeah.
Skirting ladder. Now, that's the one the boys mostly got. You know what I mean? Go get that skirting ladder now, will you?
Okay.
Boys wandering around the hall, say, where's that skirting ladder? And you say, think about that there now. Yeah. But sure, again, you'll trance anything. Like, if you can get someone to go and do something stupid, and for your giggles and have the crack, like, you're going to do it.
Aidan, I laboured for my brothers at a young age, but the worst job I always found was actually having to go and get the lunch run. You know what I mean? Between working out change between cigarettes and pies and bottles of whatever it is, trying to get everyone's on site. How did you find that? Just the crack, the fun?
Well, it's a long time ago now. So, so during the 80s, so we had mass unemployment. That's when I done my apprenticeship. But I think the building sites at the time were different.
Yeah.
And the facilities we had at the time were very different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we and I think health and safety wasn't as regulated as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were an apprentice, of course, you had to go and do the run. I worked on several big sites, and I used to work with GNR Plastering at the time, actually. So several big sites, and there'd be big gangs there. So when you were doing the lunch run, it was a list.
Yeah, it was.
And they all wanted different things. But I remember one occasion, and it was Hegarty's we were working for at the time, and they said, it was Christmas time, they said to me, go and get the lads lunch. Wherever they want, get them. So I went down and went in looking for had a list, I was going through the list, and it was off Dawson Street where we were working at the time, and there was a delicatessen. And
hot chicken rolls weren't the thing back then, I'd say.
No. And one of the labourers was with me. He was a Paddy. He's from Connemara, big man. So I done my list and said, Paddy, what do you want? So he turned around and said to the woman, he says, I'll take a chicken roll. And she says, well, oh, yeah. And what size is, you know, what piece of the chicken do you want? Because it's a delicatessen.
Yeah.
There's only two pieces, the left and the right side. Give me the right side. As an apprentice, yeah, you used to do a lot of the runs and make the tea and that, yes.
Pete, what about you? You see people passing every day in the suits, heading off to offices. Do you look at them and kind of think, oh, geez, chin up, lads, you're missing out? And
I feel sorry for them, I really do, you know, I swear to God. Look, I'm going to be honest, I done pretty good in my leaving cert. I could have went to college, but I just was always drawn to construction for some reason, and to the site. Working in the outdoors and having that freedom was what probably attracted me. I love working with my hands and creating something. But I always say to apprentices, getting your apprenticeship is literally like your ticket to travel the world, you know? Aiden kind of mentioned it there earlier on. Like, if you've got a trade, you get on a plane and you go anywhere. I remember well when all my mates went to Australia, the trades lads went straight in and were working, and they actually kept the other lads going. They were paying the digs fee for a while because the other lads were going around trying to get jobs and they couldn't get them. Whereas you get off the plane, you walk onto any building site, I guarantee you, within a day, you're working straight away.
This lad's better dressed than anyone in the suit. His clothes are more expensive than a man in suits with his stuff.
I got dressed up because it was me and Dunnigan today.
Yeah. Judging it on the dirty.
Yeah. I know, but look, I honestly say that, and again, Luke kind of said it earlier on, if you go to college, you're going to have to work part-time, you're going to have to, you know, do something to get your few quid, whereas if you're an apprentice, you're getting paid to be trained, and you get your college experience as well, you know, so you get best of both worlds. And again, then you have that, you know, you've got something that you can take with you for the rest of your life as well.
Absolutely.
You know,
Luke, there's always rivalry though, isn't there? I remember, like, my brothers would always whinge and moan about the painters, because the painters
always get the bottom of the barrel. Yeah.
But they were always the ones that gave out about the plastering.
We finished the whole job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so blame the painters.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there is that crossing over of blaming each other and maybe, you know, leaving a bit of work behind that, you know, that they're going to have to tidy up.
You talk about electricians.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just going to drill a hole here, man. All right, yeah. And, oh, that wasn't meant to be there. Should be a fillers. And I finished painting saying, a bit of fillers be all
we
right.
We can't be biased in the podcast. So I have two brothers' lectures. I have to stand up for them. That's not going to
I knew there was someone going to stick up for the neckies.
You're slagging me about being looking good. The electricians wear Gucci. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a joke.
They can afford it.
Spotless clothes, you know.
Aiden, is this correct? Is there one common trade? It's always electricians' fault.
Yeah, I mean, well, bricklayers were an issue for us. You know, and spirit levels. Sometimes I wonder, did he have spirit levels?
But, depends if they were on price or
not. No bubble.
Pete, you must see it more than anyone. The change now with the customer in terms of, and I know it's exactly me. I Google something at home. I think I'm an expert. I try to take it on. I make an absolute dog's dinner of it. And then I make the call to Tree of E. Like, how are you finding it with the change? With how people are now engaging with builders and tradespeople in general?
Yeah, look, construction in general, the technology has gone through the roof, and it really has in terms of materials, in terms of controls, how you control your building. Like, you can have an app on your phone that can turn on and off your lights, it can turn up and down your heating, and people are much more in tune with that type of stuff now. So therefore, I think as an operative or anybody who's a trade in construction, you have to be in tune with what's happening in terms of making sure that you're up to date with everything. It used to just be maybe the technology was in electrical or in plumbing works, but it's actually coming through all the trades now, you know, technology in terms of tools has gone through the roof. So there's been a huge transition in the last 10 years. But I suppose that's in life in general. Look at the phones we have in our pockets. Like, you know, the technology there has gone through the roof. So there's no doubt about it. People are a little bit more educated. But as you were kind of saying there, a small bit of education is a very dangerous thing. You know, people would often come to me and they go, oh, well, why is this like that and all the rest of it? And they're not looking at the big picture, you know. But in fairness, you know, the specifications that we have now, and usually architects will cover all of those areas as well. But there is no doubt about it. Shows like Home Rescue and Room to Improve and these type of things have half educated people, you know. So I've got to blame, I have to take a little bit of that blame myself as well, you know.
Brilliant. Luke's rolling his eyes.
Like a montage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How to build a house in 60 seconds.
Well, 3 days.
Luke, do you find the opposite, that everyone comes to you with their problems? You can fix it all, if you know what I mean?
Because a painter can do anything, you know. Yeah. So I mean, we're just, see, he's laughing. But he's laughing because he knows it's true, you see.
Okay, yeah.
But I know, you throw your hand to anything. Like, but again, if people do themselves, like, and then you would go fix it, and you're twice as long fixing. Like, why were you that long? I said, I had to fix what you done before I could even start.
Yeah.
Doing it. So that's what painting, no one preps anything. So that's what we do. We prep everything. And that's what people don't see. They don't see the preparation. They're like, oh, shit, you flew through that. And I said, I flew through the painting of it, yeah, because of a 12-inch roller. But it didn't take, it took me 3 hours to get all them holes filled and get things to dry. Yeah. And it's all a process, like. Mm-hmm. Whereas grand, like, you can go into a kitchen or a sitting room or anything, and you just start and you have a list and you go bang, 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 bang. And then you're out the door into another one. And then people, oh, that was quick. But should you pay me less because I done it quick because I was good at my job? So,
so in your world of painting and decorating now, you've seen a lot of stuff. Maybe they mentioned 12-inch roller and people probably know 6-inch roller. You see spraying is huge in the States, starting to develop here in Ireland. Are you seeing that?
Oh, yeah, no, there is boys that go in and spray everything. They just wipe houses out, like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be grand, but it'd only be a base coat, like, because you can't, if you spray it on, it's totally different viscosity to actual paint. So you go along with your brush and roller and try touch-up spray. Sure, there's 10 times as much paint on it. So it's, ceilings would be great. You go, because no one's going to be up, oh, look, I'm just going to mess that. You might. You might. Like, oh, look at that lovely flesh ceiling.
Yeah.
But spraying it is great, like. But say you can't touch it up, you'd have to go and spray everything again. So again, it's the best that are
hard. Worlds. So you finish your apprenticeship, you're back on the site now, or working away. Educate yourself further down the line. If there's something as an apprenticeship in aid, you might be able to jump in. Is there a further class down the road, like, or is there a year class, 2 years?
I don't know
time?
That, but like, if you wanted, like, I don't know, I thought about it, like, what would be wrong with me going and doing an interior design course, and then you could be an interior designer, tell how you want it done, and then you say, oh, look, I can do that as well. So you could say, get best of both worlds. And sure, again, all it is picking colours. That's one thing we don't do. That's one thing we don't do as a painter. One thing you don't do as a painter is pick a colour for someone. Never pick a colour.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't on that podcast.
No one picks a colour because they're all the same. If you try picking colours and all the names are wild, elephant's breath, and they're, is that not white?
Lovely colour, yeah.
But Aidan, you've probably seen it before we get on to chat about technology. In your time, you had to have a bit of a cross between everything. To be fair, you could do it all.
Yeah, well, like, going back then, it was day release. Sure. So we were 4 days on site, 1 day in Bolton Street. And it was the Department of Education that set the examination and set the curriculum for us. Now it's the standard-based system. So apprentices have still got 4 years, but they're, you know, they're in the workplace and then they're in the ETB and then they're in college, you know, on block release. It's a different type of system. I think the main thing about the system now is the quality and standards. And that's really important because we have strong learning outcomes. We have a curriculum that's designed with industry and education in partnership together. And that's going to be even modernised more with the new consortium apprenticeship model that's underway, and the minister wants roll out for the craft apprenticeship. He wants them transitioning over to that the consortium model in 2025. So there's opportunities there for this partnership approach for industry and education, and to regulate the quality and standards of the apprenticeship. Because if you get someone in, whether they're a bricklayer, whether they're a painter and decorator, or a carpenter and joiner, into your home, you want some type of guarantee that that person is qualified, is skilled, and can leave that job to a really high standard. So that's something that we really have to push, that the the young builders that are out there nowadays, like people here beside me, and the big builders.
Take that as a compliment.
he wasn't chatting to you, Pete. He's chatting to Luke. Yeah.
He nudged you to pass it on. Yeah. Well, chatting to you about the bad houses.
And what you say about quality? So quality is the person. They have quality skills, but you need quality materials. You need quality equipment, and as was said earlier, you need quality IT, because in the new industrial age, they call it Industry 4.0, we need them all together. You know, it's not where we were before. We're moving forward all the time. So you want to know, well, how can we use all these new technologies and new people skills together?
Every day is a school day.
Yeah, 100%.
Keep me in employment.
Yeah. I actually, when I served my apprenticeship, I went back to Bolton Street, and I'd done a craft-based technicians course back in the day. I was actually, I'm giving away my age now, but my year was the last year of the day release, okay, and then the block release came in then, so you'll know what age I am now.
But, you look fresh for it.
Doesn't work as you stop. You might never have to
tell. He's like Benjamin Button.
I say that apprentice is fully qualified. She's doing all the work.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, Jane is flat out. But no, but I actually really enjoyed it, because they've done an awful lot of subjects on that course. Like, we've done material science, we've done some engineering, we've done project management. So I was able to take that then, you know, because when I came out of my apprenticeship, I, you know, worked with a few different builders, and then I worked for myself, and then I was able to take the learning that I got in the craft-based technicians course to go forward. It also helped me. I got a job in Trinity College for a while as well, and that course was a huge asset for that. So I would highly recommend that people continue to learn. Like you just said it there, like every single day is a learning day.
Trainers for winners.
Yeah, absolutely. And my best advice to an apprentice would be to be promiscuous. absolutely. look at Dominic's eyes open.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're chatting.
What I mean by that, by the way, Luke, is get to work with as many tradesmen as you can, and as many different trades as you can, because you will learn something off every single one of them. The way they do something, just there's always something different, a slight little difference the way it's done. So, you know, there you go.
Oh, yeah. That's how I said that. I actually had three different bosses throughout my apprenticeship. So, I got everything.
Wow.
The whole spectrum of paint and decorating, fit and finish, you know what I mean? Bigger jobs, and then, say, hand paint the kitchen where they.
Yeah, but like that, Luke, what Pete's saying, did you pick something up off
every one of them,
100%, different ways
100%,
or
yeah,
different traits even?
But that's it, everyone is different, like everyone is going to do something the same way. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's wrong.
Exactly.
It's just their way of doing it, like, and I say, if you can put your little bit on top of what they taught you, maybe you do it a little bit quicker, and I say, time is money, if that's what you want, like, I say, just try, as you say, try to be a little bit better than you were last week. Yeah. 10% better than you were last week.
Brilliant. Great way to have it. Luke, I know we cursed COVID in ways, but it did give us that
great
model to go and but it did, we did learn online a little bit more, and that does give, be it students in your case, you know, if you do want to do a course, you can do that in the evenings now, where, you know, it can tie in around your schedule.
100%. Like, so there's night courses for everything now, like. Do you know what I mean? You can just, sure, Zoom is a thing. So you don't even have to physically attend somewhere to get an education, which is, again, technology.
Yeah.
It's a savior, and of course, it's the best of times. You know what I mean? So again, if you can keep learning, anything you can do to try to get a little bit more information in your head, make your life a little bit easier. Brilliant. Try to get it from anywhere at all. Doesn't matter what source it is. Just try to keep getting in and try smile. Have the crack about it.
That's it.
Pete, we'll get to the technology side of it, but just from a company point of view as well, getting the name out there, you know what I mean? The traditional models are probably gone. There is, like all of us now, we're all, you know, on our phones, and social medias are important for companies to get out there. And, you know what I mean? It's in the front of the van with, you know, the skilled workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, back in the day, it was like your website was a big thing, and it still is to a certain degree, but there's no doubt about it. Social media has kind of taken over. Having a social media account is nearly like having free marketing for your company if you use it correctly. And it's gas, each social media platform presents itself in a different way and has a different kind of way of doing it. But for me, I found in the last kind of 5 years that it's really kind of helped sort of promote my profile and my business in a certain way. And it's allowed me sort of show the work that I've done, because there's so many times you would have done a great job and you, like, you can't, like, unless you're going to bring somebody in, actually physically show them. Whereas now you can just walk around and do a video, take photographs, link it together into a reel. You know, and people to go, well, we didn't even know you had done that job or whatever, you know. So it is great that way, but you do have to be careful what way you do it. And remember, it's only a tool to present stuff. You still have to do the job correctly. You have to
it's
do
it. It's not great for us because the wives get on and have a look at you. I see Pete did a great job the other day. You know him, don't you?
No,
I don't know.
Brilliant. Did Jane find you because of your TikTok videos?
No, well, she had seen that, but she lives in my area.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and she obviously probably knew that I was a builder through general word of mouth, but
she'd
also
be allowed to far more younger people with the TikTok, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably, but I think, like, you know, being on Route to Improve and then Home Rescue, and I've been on television and all that type of stuff as well, does help. But again, it's not the be all or end all of anything. I've got to be honest with you, the television part of stuff and the social media side of stuff is 10% of what I do. Like, it's on site every day working. That's where the bread and butter is made. And that's the truth 100%. Of it. So you have to keep focus on that, you know?
Aidan, it's been a big shift away from, and what are you seeing within TU Dublin? You know, how are you preparing students for that kind of online now being as important?
Yeah. I just go back and maybe give a picture of what I know about social media. So I'm just coming to terms with Facebook. And Jennifer, who's my colleague from TU Dublin, thanks Jennifer for sending me here, said you have to go and do a blog. I said, okay, Jennifer, fine. So what's a blog?
Okay. You were there. We throw them on the fire.
But in terms of technology and utilising technology, I mean, for example, if you look at construction now, so BIM, Building Information Systems Management, we have all this technology here, so we can, you know, have a full 3D picture of a building. You can walk through the building in the software, you know where all the materials are. We can link in with suppliers, you know, so you can have your logistics set up. So the technologies that's there available on your phone, you know, and also for quality assurance, because if you go into a room, you know what you have to do. You know, well, who done that work? And that's all recorded on the software, which is extremely important. Because when you look at, and say for example, if we look at the farming industry, they have traceability back to the farm. Okay, so you can trace right back, you know where that product came from. So in the construction industry, we need traceability back to who actually done that work? What were the materials? Who done it? Who signed off? And that's key. Yeah. And that's what technology has given us. And I would say as well that the new consortium apprenticeship model allows us to work with industry and social partners to develop programs at level 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, doctoral level. And the new National Apprenticeship Office is set up. We're willing to engage fully with our social partners, and we have engaged indeed with Chadwick's in an important endeavour that was set up by Jennifer Bourne, who with Chadwick's set up the Recognition of Excellence in Apprenticeship Award. So we look at our apprentices in the class, we see who's there, who's doing the work, who's demonstrating a high level of skills, but who's demonstrating social skills as well. And then the lecturers, they choose an apprentice, and Chadwick's have recognised that with an award that happens 3 times a year. That's really important to have that engagement with industry and that recognition.
Absolutely. And you could imagine it from yourself to be recognised by your peers like that would be very, very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lads, I might bring you back into sight though, and just you might take us through like the change in technology as you're seeing it day in, day out, and maybe the shift in mindset towards using them. I remember when I used to labour for my brothers, but I would always have to mix up either bonding or skim. And I'd say 3 months later, I called in and one of the lads labouring from was using a drill bit, whereas I used to absolutely have to plunge every bit of it. But
that's where,
like,
you got the muscles from, you know.
But their point was that was always in the van. You never asked.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like, have the mindset to learn, improve, get better.
Gains.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it did stand to me in ways, but I wish I'd made it a bit easier. But what are you seeing, Pete, in change in technology on site?
Yeah, well, look, before the technology part of it, you know, we were talking about there earlier on, like, the health and safety aspect on site is so much better than it was. You know, you're not expected to lift the heavy weights that you wear back in the day. You know, you we limit the amount of stupidity that can happen on sites where people can hurt themselves for silly reasons by good safety standards. And that's a culture now that has definitely changed. I can clearly see it. Like, you know, the cowboy days of lads hanging off ladders and doing stuff like that is very, very rarely happens on site these days, which is a very, very good thing. But it also makes site a much more welcoming place to, you know, a bigger pool of people. You don't have to be that big, strong, hardy rugby player type dude that mixes stuff by hand, you know what I mean?
The clothes are gone. You see them, they're like models on the hill.
Okay. But you don't have to be, you know, and the working hours and all that type of stuff are much more respectable than they used to be. So like, that has definitely made construction a lot more appealing, in my opinion. But then when you come to the technology side of stuff, like if we start off with the tools, well, like the BIM models that, like when I'm having a meeting on site now with an architect, they don't have a pen and paper there. They literally have like an iPad or some sort of a device. They're able to scan in, you know, walk through walls. It's amazing stuff. I remember the first time I seen it, I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. It's like something you'd see, you know, in Mission Impossible or something on the telly and do all those type of things. But the accuracy that brings and the speed and eliminates an awful lot of problems as well. You can do clash detection in terms of mechanical and electrical don't cross over each other and all this type of stuff can be done. So routes are already set up for you before the jobs even start. So all that type of stuff is definitely a positive, and it's technology that wasn't there even 5 years ago, that wasn't there, and now it's very close to being mainstream on most jobs now. You know, tools like the quality and the accuracy of tools these days is unreal, in terms of, you know, the cutting, the speed, you know, all of those type of things, and that has certainly helped increase the quality as well, like the accuracy in your cuts and the amount of repetition that you can do at high speed now as well is phenomenal. So I've seen a huge lift in that. And I think all around, I suppose people's just information and people's knowledge of the technology has got much better. You know what I mean? Like there's a bit of a crossover between the trades now in terms of them kind of knowing, you know, what each trade is doing, which I think is very, very important.
And it's making the sector more attractive to younger people as well, that are getting to see, okay, I don't have to get up every morning at 6:30 and break my back here. I've got a drill to do this. I've got a circular saw to do that. Like, I've got the machinery that's making my life a hell of a
battery standards.
You have to, you do have to invest in it. That's not all cheap. You do have to invest in it, but I think it's like, you know, if you invest in good tools to start,
sure, your body will have to prosper for not being broke up and abused.
Yeah.
Like mixing skin with your hands.
Yeah, there you go. But Luke, you're probably seen it, and you probably have generations within your team. You know what I mean?
I walk by there now, Dooley. The Doodles, how we know Doodles. I'm surprised you don't
there's
know.
There's a shout out.
I'm surprised you don't know, really.
You're
not
calling them out like YouTubers, though. Like,
no. I can remember when I started my apprenticeship, there was an older man in Tin Healy, and he was an apprentice painter back when they only had carts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he said, I was like, a couple of years ago, up in the city anyway, we said that they had two rows of houses and that's all they'd ever do, because they'd be pushing and they'd start in one house. By the time they've actually got around to do the last house, it'd be time to start painting again.
Wow.
And when he was an apprentice, if he seen another trolley on the street, like, they knew they weren't meant to be there, so they go rob their wheel. And that was the story I was told about apprenticeship. Okay. But like, they had to mix their own colours. They used lead paint. Like, it was all crazy. Yeah. Like, I can remember when we went into phase two, like, we were told to bring in, we would have to learn how to fix the windows. Do you know what I mean? So we could paint them. Mm. So that's the thing, that's gone now. Like.
Yeah.
But the biggest technology I'd imagine that I could guess that is improved for painting is the paint. There's paint for everything now. Do you know what I mean? You're not just worried about, oh, so if you mix that down a little bit or put a bit of that in with that. Like, that's what eggshell is. Eggshell used to call it 50-50. It's half satin, half gloss. And that was in the middle. Mm. But now you can just go buy your eggshell.
But even the primers and all that.
Oh, sure, wood primer, glass primer. You can paint tiles now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
People are going mad painting tiles.
And that's the technology has basically improved in the materials that allows you to do that now, you know.
And there's no oil-based paint either.
No, that's probably the best. That's the biggest improvement in the paint sector, that we've moved from oil-based to water-based.
Yeah, 100%.
Luke, does that give you an appreciation for the people that went before you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, if you don't respect the old guard, like, they wouldn't, our trade wouldn't be here if they hadn't been there. Do you know what I mean?
So you're claiming Leonardo da Vinci now.
Well, no, that's Connie. the man who taught sign writing. Unbelievable. But again, like, they're all dying art forms, like the sign writing. No one doing it anymore. Oh, I can just get a plastic printed there. Like, that's, again, it's lovely. But it's mass produced, like. I mean, there's no, you know what I mean? I don't know, personal touch to it. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, say, because it is a dying art. Like, we learned how to grain. We learned how to wallpaper. Say, there's things that you get to do in college, like, as boys, you say, if you piss, you can paint. That's not true when it comes to college, because there's no rollers. You're learning to do everything with a brush. Like, you learn how to do it the way it was done old times. Mm. And then, like, again, if you have technology, modern technology that can help you speed up, that's great. But you're being taught properly how to do it the old way. So if technology fails, you still know how to do it.
Yeah.
You don't need technology. Technology is just there to help you along if you need it. If you don't need it, there you go. You can still do it. Yeah. And again, that's it. See, there's no one else. You won't get a chance to, like, make mistakes with wallpapering or doing that, because wallpaper is expensive. But in college, they have a quota for how many rolls of wallpaper you can use every day, and you can just lap it up, take it down, and you'll get better. Repetition. Like, again, the boys used to be terrified of plumb bobs. The plumb bob's a string with a heavy piece of metal on the bottom of it. That's all it is. Simple as. And now you have a laser level. Mm. I mean, but we weren't given laser levels.
Yeah,
we learned how to use a plumb bob.
Yeah, 100%.
So if you drop your laser level, you can still plumb that wall.
Yeah.
And that's, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I enjoyed it anyway. Yeah. I do it again. You don't have to.
You say it, Luke. It's actually a mantra I nearly tipped through my life from working on sites. Measure twice, cut once. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it matters in everything. But it must make you proud when you hear, you know, a few generations on, still nearly so respectful to what's gone before in terms of the standards and the values he left behind within in the trades.
Absolutely. When I started to trade, and I go back to colleagues in Bolton Street, as it was at the time, DIT Bolton Street. But, and even going back to the FEC days, the teachers and lecturers at the time, they all came from a trade background. So when you went in to do your day release, or as Luke done his block release, your teachers were people who had worked on site previously. So they had that understanding. They knew about the difference between the practical end of things, the competency end, the knowledge end of things, and how they worked on site. But you keep that culture and tradition going and you hand it on, but you don't hand it on to stay where it is. It has to move forward. And that's why all the new tools and the new technologies are really important, because we want to reduce waste. We have to improve our sustainability. We have to reduce our carbon footprint. And the new tools and new technologies allow us to do that. But the skills base has to remain as well, because we have restoration, we have renovation, but we have preservation as well.
I do quite a lot of conservation work, and it is nearly like a different trade. Mm-hmm. If a fella came off a site and he was just doing, you know, meters after meters and meters of plastering, and he goes into a conservation project.
He can't slab that wall, lad, sorry.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's got to do with the breathability of the building, and it's got to do with all of those kind of, you know, very important things that people can overlook very easy. And it was the problem in the sort of 70s and 80s, a lot of old buildings in Dublin got renovated very badly, because just the understanding of the type of construction that was required wasn't there, and it was too hard to police it. Whereas now there's proper regulation in place of that now, you know.
Whatever about the regulation, which is the most important thing, is there also the awareness from the trades as well?
Yeah,
that, you know what I mean? This building deserves, you know what I mean? I mightn't have the skill set for it, but we know that it can be done right.
Yeah.
And let's do that.
Yeah, like the best sort of, I suppose, what's the way, the best thing that you could demonstrate is if you can do new work beside all work and the two of them merging together seamlessly. Like that's a skill in itself.
Yeah.
And it's very satisfying when you can do that. But I think this day and age, like if somebody was to ring me up and go, oh, listen, I have this building, I want you to knock holes in it and just get it done. I'd be like, right, hold on for a second now, you know. That type of thing isn't happening as much as it did back in the day, you know. A lot more respect, I think, is the right way of putting it.
Yeah. Great way to have it.
Just go back to the piece then, Luke. You've obviously finished your apprenticeship 4 years. You obviously have your own business. And then, Aidan, question probably for you. If I'm Luke now, I come out of school and I want to set up like Pete in a couple of years' time, is there a business element in relation to the apprenticeship piece where they learn how to do...
We learned how to price it all, yeah.
We used to do Hell Week.
Hell Week, bring it on. Easy.
Ray Goggin showed them for 3 weeks.
Yeah. I think the one thing we talk about is how we can make the apprenticeship attractive, but also then, is there an opportunity as an apprentice to move on and start a business like Pete has, you know, to build your profit, but also build a business that's sustainable, but build a business that you can probably hand down to another generation of small little Pete's or to somebody else. So is that piece in there at the moment?
Yeah, it could be strengthened, but we do have teamwork, communication skills in the newer versions of the curriculum. I think when the consortium model is fully realised for all the craft-based apprenticeship, yeah, that's something that will be built in. But there is progression routes. So once you qualify, you get a level 6 qualifications of the National Framework of Qualifications from Quality Qualifications Ireland. So that's our national authority. That's recognised throughout Europe. So that's also placed on the European Qualifications Framework. So you can work anywhere in Europe and your qualification is recognised. But there's also progression routes and they have to be built in to all programmes. So if you have a level 6 apprenticeship qualification, you have to have opportunities to move on to a level 7 or a level 8 degree programme, honours degree programme. Again, it's something that I never thought I would do at the time. And just the only bit of advice that I'd give people is it's never too late to learn and never say you can't. Never say you can't, because when I qualified, it was through other work. I'd done a lot of, I was plastering away and I had my own business and so forth, but I was always interested in my local community. So I was involved with community voluntary work. Through that, I started to work with young people that were involved with drugs at the time. And as you probably, I don't know, at that time in Dublin, the heroin epidemic was big. But from that, and from working with these young people on a voluntary basis, I said, I need to know more about this. So I got interested in psychology and sociology. And then I went back, because one of the lecturers in Bolton Street said, well, why don't you go and do a diploma? Why don't you do an evening course? So I did, and I done that. And then I got more curious. I done a degree, and I got more curious, done the master's. And then one day, I ended up through DIT at the time. They had funding for a PhD and doctoral programme. So I went down to Trinity College to do an interview for a doctorate. Now, I'm originally from East Wall. East Wall, a city centre, as you can get. I was never inside Trinity College.
Trinners for winners.
Yeah, that's what I mean. As a kid, the only thing that happened was Trinity College, we got chased by security. And there I was going in doing an interview to get onto a programme. Yeah, I got onto the programme. And when I was there, I still used the skills I learned from apprenticeship, the practical know-how. I used that in all the assignments that I had, and these are theoretical assignments, up at level 10 of the framework, but the practical skill set and how to go about organising work. So I saw every assignment as a work project. And I said, well, what tools do I need? What knowledge do I need? And I approached it in that way and got through it.
So Pete, you know, as we were talking about Instagram earlier, this wall paneling does business. What is the story here? I mean, if I was to do everything that my wife wants me to do, the whole house would be covered in wall panels. Just panels everywhere.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a big thing. The wall paneling is kind of back in vogue now, you know. But there's some great learning to be done by going through people. There's lots of great makers out there in all the different trades showing little handy tips. Literally just this weekend, I done a wall shelf, but I done it in the shape of a tree just for the kids in the playroom. And I recorded how I did it and put it up on Instagram, and I got a huge reaction, loads of people wanting to do it, you know. So simple little clever things like that can really give ideas, but also I think people like to be given a little bit of a hint of how to actually do it as well, you know. So you can't give away all the secrets now, but you can certainly give them. I actually love it when people have a go themselves. Like sometimes they do it in the wrong way, but
speaking of doing it yourself, I heard this is a fella in the room here trying something special.
Oh yeah, tell us.
I might give you a shout about this, but Jenny, yeah, thanks a million. I know you'd have
my back.
I don't
think you can.
Basically, my wife Jenny was away with the kids, and I thought I'd do a little bit of touching up around the house, and the kitchen table was looking worse for wear after kind of maybe 15 years. But what I noticed, all kind of marks from like good stories and stuff like that. So I said I'd touch it up, and I went for the pink, like what you're sitting on there, Pete, that kind of colour.
All right, Jenny.
On top of the table.
It's a lovely choice, man.
As soon as the paintbrush hit, you know, you just sinking feeling in your gut, Aidan, and I was like,
see the brush strokes.
I've got this, exactly. I got it badly, badly wrong. So, yeah, there was no making.
Did you prime it?
No, we had to get a dog instead. So, and a new kitchen table. So I lost out badly. Yeah.
When you were starting then, when you went out to do your apprenticeship outside and back into the workplace, it must have
throwing a couple of clangers where you went, oh, I should have done that.
I don't make mistakes. I'm perfect.
He's new generation. Look at this.
I have a halo on it. Yeah, he has a lights around.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I definitely never made any mistakes in my apprenticeship, and any of my former bosses will tell you that.
Like every apprentice I ever had.
It wasn't even there.
Yeah, there must be times though when you hear people or customers looking for stuff. Actually,
we done a job one time, and again, I'm going to bring it up now because I only seen the man who.
No names.
We were on this job anyway, and an interior designer had picked all the colours. It was grand, so you know they had all these wooden picture frames, and it's going to be lovely. So they were an eggshell grey, which was grand, and they had all LED lights in around them. And the colour they were put in the centre is the only way I can describe it. Is you ever see that Only Fools and Horses episode?
That's right.
And it was gold. I mean gold. Yeah. And I was like, no way did they want this colour. So I painted it, and I was like, we're going to have to ring these people. Do you know what I mean? Say, like, are you actually sure you want this on your wall? The painters wondered, should I keep painting? Oh, yeah, no, throw it on. Paint away. So, never judge a book by its cover and never judge a job until it's done.
No, very true.
And Pete, your end, what's the maddest kind of stuff you've ever been asked to do that you think, geez, it's not going to work, lads?
Well, I went through a phase of going, if someone said to me, this is an award-winning architect, I said to myself, right, there's going to be leaks all over the place, because what they try and do, what architecture these days, it's bigger and it's less cappings and less flashings. They just want to have glass and really fine lines everywhere, you know. And the reality of it is that doesn't suit the Irish weather, you know. No. So we've been asked to stretch the limits a lot. I've done a huge job out in Killiney over the last few years, and it was a very interesting project. I suppose the best way to put it is the boundaries were pushed on in a lot of different ways. The size of the glass, the size of the steel beams. So the boundaries are constantly being pushed. There's just no doubt about that. And again, when it comes to architecture, architects are trying to continue to push and trying to do something modern. Different. Yeah, some more modern, more different, crazy shapes, all of these type of things, you know. And they look lovely when they're finished, but then you're saying to yourself, how are they ever going to change that light bulb? How are they going to clean that window? Like, you know, you'd need to get...
And does that push on then, Aidan, into the classroom then? Are we seeing the apprentices are going to be doing different type of work?
Well, look, again, I go back to this, the new consortium apprenticeship approach. And that's going to allow... for that review process to impact on the curriculum. So as modern technology and modern methods come in and modern materials, have advanced so much, like we heard from lead-based paints up to everything is water-based now, so there's less pollutants in the materials because, again, we have a green skills agenda and sustainability and reduce the carbon footprint, and that's a priority for us. But with that engagement through the consortium, we're employers and the social partners, we can make sure that our curriculum is a modern curriculum. We haven't lost any of the skills to pass, but that it stays up to date with the new materials and the new advances that's being made. Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it there, lads. Thank you so much for joining us on Under Construction with Chadwicks. Pat, thanks a million for having us along. Very enjoyable. Luke, we wish you the very best luck in your career as you start off. We wish you all good fortune as it goes on and hope it goes your way.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Fair play. Continued success. Setting the standard. Brilliant stuff. And again, much success as you go on in your career. We look forward to watching you on Hell and Back or whatever it is next. Next stop, the Late Late Show.
Thanks very much.
I love Ireland.
No, jeez. Mrs. Vaughan let me on that one. Yeah.
But Aidan, on behalf of all of us, thank you so much for what you're doing. Incredible, not only to come through your career in the trades, but now be selfless and help out and give back so much. It's commendable by everyone, not only in the industry, but outside it. And you should be, really proud of what you've done and what you're continuing to do. And thanks so much for joining us today.
I think you could have your own blog.
Yeah. You're a brilliant blogger, Aidan.
I only learned how it was. Thanks very much.
Yeah, cheers, thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Again.
So every week we're going to take the opportunity to shine a light on one of our many suppliers, and this week it's EPH with Shane. Well, you're joined by Shane from EPH. Shane, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Just for the company we're in,
Donegal probably hasn't a clue what EBH is.
Not an notion.
So you have an opportunity.
I feel like Tommy Tiernan. Shane, tell us, who are you?
What are you doing, fella? Right, EPH is an Irish controls company based down in the People's Republic of Cork.
Wow.
We are gone to 47 strong in staff. We're kind of the leading manufacturer in Ireland of controls. And the big thing for us now is the smart controls. Smart controls where you can basically control your heating from anywhere in the world, anytime, any temperature.
So basically you're telling me, honestly, I'm on the way home from work, I can set off the heating or
get
the water on.
It's basically about convenience now for everybody, saving money and convenience. And there's no point in you, say you get delayed in work and or you have to get stuck in traffic, you're going to be an hour or 2 hours late, but your heating's coming on, but there's nobody at home. What's the point?
Yeah.
So let's save a few bob. Turn off the heating, give yourself a half an hour, a boost of a half an hour will heat the house up, especially the way houses are insulated now. Half an hour is more than enough, so you get home, it's nice and comfortable.
So years ago, when we had controls in the walls, you had the old stats, you turned it on with your finger, got it to 20, 30, you might even get to that.
Yeah.
You've come a long way since then.
Oh yeah, long way. Now, there's the technology, even in the last 12 months for us, is changing. More control is what people want, so there's different systems even on the app now. That we've two systems now and another two coming. Where you'll be able to control each individual radiator, believe it or not, by your phone. So every room in your house could have a different temperature, different time, different control. That's coming. But right now, what we have is an offering where you have your basic upstairs, downstairs, hot water. You have three zones. You can turn it on and off, temperature up, down, to suit you, when suits you, whenever time you suits you. And the newest one, it's not so much new, but it's making a big splash in the UK and it's going to make a big splash here, is a system called the CP4, which is basically a system which uses open therm. So open therm is going to be a buzzword in the next 12 months in Ireland, because it basically gives you even more control than what you have, because we have an issue in Ireland where what's called an overshoot on temperature. So basically you turn your heating on, you want say 21 degrees. So the boiler comes on, it fires and it keeps going till it reaches 21 degrees. And then it starts to modulate down. So it brings the temperature down and down. With open therm, it sees it's getting to temperature and then it starts to reduce the modulation even earlier. So you have no overshoots. You know the way somebody's turning the heating on and you go, it's just too hot.
Yeah.
And you turn open windows to try and cool down. Well, this will stop that. It'll prevent that. So it makes the house more comfortable. It's more efficient. It's just all around better.
So there's two kind of customers here. Typical one being me before, when I had just an ordinary control.
Yeah.
Right. And then we've got obviously the tradesman who will be listening to the podcast as well, who's thinking, right, he knows a bit more about the media. So if you take the two of them, go back to the first one first. Retrofit, I'm sitting at home, I want to change to an EPH. I want to get that off my phone. How do I go about it? What's the best way to...
The best thing to do is contact your local installer and go into the likes of the Chadwicks branches. In every branch, there's somebody who knows about EPH controls. We're around long enough and we do a good bit with Chadwicks, so the lads are well educated. Go start there, because every house can have this control. As long as you have Wi-Fi, you can have the control. There's no sign-up fee, there's no SIM card, there's no additional fee for having it. You can just basically... It's very, very straightforward. We have YouTube videos, social media presence where even the likes of anybody of an age, we can show them how to set it up and we can do it over the phone with them. Very straightforward. I think the fear is when people, you say smart controls, the people are like, oh, like, you know, what's this going to do? How am I going to operate it? But once you do it once, it's like an app. Everybody uses apps every day, all day, whether it's banking, whether it's whatever, WhatsApp. It's the same thing. It's just another app.
And that's the thing, Shane. We're moving more and more towards that. We want convenience.
Yeah.
We want to be, productive and less wasteful. And this really is helping with sustainability.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's all about, like, look at the price of everything now with fuel and everything. We want to try and keep it as tight as we can. Everybody's in the same boat. So if you can save an hour of your gas or oil boiler or your heat pump or whatever it may be, whatever the technology is that's heating your house, if you can save time without that running, it's putting euros back in your pocket.
That was my next question. So if you have oil, you have gas, you heat it. So can EPH controls do every, that's multiple,
yeah,
for every?
Yeah, the heat source is irrelevant for us, really. It's basically how we control what we're putting into the house. That's what we want to do. So make it simple for people, keep it very simple and go from there. Just as you said, there's two different types. So the trades guys, a lot of people we find in the trade will put our controls in. So they can actually then go to the customer, to your homeowner and say, look, this is how it works. I have it at home. Look, I'm turning the heating off or I'm turning the temperature down now so the wife's going to be cold, or put it up. You know, it's very straightforward.
It'll be great for you. Yeah. Kids will be at home, you know, heating on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, turn off the hot water.
Well, it's the classic one. And I just remember from growing up in our house when you complained about the heating, it was throw on a jumper. Well, at least someone's in control of this before you even arrive. And the classic, when you knew you needed showers, turn on the immersion. Those days are gone.
Those days are gone. Yeah, those days are gone. Look, we've something for immersions as well, which helps things as well. We have a product that will count down. So there's no fear of, is the immersion still on when you're halfway to Dublin or whatever? So we have that as well. There's all little bits and pieces that we do, but smart controls is the now, but it's also the future.
Shane, it's great to get supported by Chadwick, though, isn't it, for
absolutely.
Irish businesses?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Look, we work hand in hand. As an Irish business ourselves, it's great to be in partnership with Chadwick's. They have a real good good presence in the market where everywhere you go, there's a good Chadwick's branch. And look, at the staff are good. We get on well. We have a good relationship. EPH is prominent in most branches. Any branch you go into, you'll see it behind the counter. And the lads are confident in selling it because they know, look, they'll get good product and good support from an Irish-based company.
Donnie.
Brilliant. Shane, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. The Under Construction podcast is produced by the podcast studios for Chadwick's, Ireland's leading building merchant company, where you can choose from the best products and expert advice to get the job done. Drop into any of your local Chadwick stores nationwide or visit us online at chadwicks.ie.